Okay, today we're going to, after I'm sure there are a lot to talk about among the different people, but we'll be going on today to the topic of the Bible. Okay, we'll be covering in four parts. This basically is just an introduction to the Bible. For some of you, it might be just a recap, a revision. Okay, like this week, we're just dealing with what is the Bible in general. Okay, looking at the breakdown of the Bible. That gives us an overall view of what the Bible is. And then after that, we'll look at the doctrine of divine inspiration and the canonization of the Bible. This is very important that I want us to encourage those people who sometimes are late, to actually encourage them to be early so that we can capture inspiration. Why the Bible is so important to the believer. Okay, it's so, so important. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Then we'll look at the memory verse for last week, Hebrews 10:25. Then after that, we'll look at the Bible itself. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for the people who are still on their way. I know many of them do want to make it on time. I pray that their motivation will help them, Lord, to perhaps cut back some time that they can actually make it. So we pray, Lord, right now as we sit under the teaching of your word, Lord, the very important topic of your precious word. Lord, forever thy word is settled in heaven. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Thou will preserve thy word forever. And Father, all these promises, Lord, why are we people of the book? Why is the Bible so important? I pray that these four weeks, Lord, you will impress on us deeply, Lord, this truth, why we need the Bible and why we cannot ignore the Bible. And I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit will take your word, teach us, Lord, from it. Lord, men may argue with me, but God, they cannot argue with your word. We pray, Lord, that we will have our foundation, even as we learnt in camp, to plant it deeply, obeying your word, Lord, that we might have a stable and strong home. So right now we pray that our lives will be strong because we love your word. So we thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anyone can remember Hebrews 10 verse 25? Hebrews 10 25. This is a very familiar passage for Independent Baptist churches. Okay, let's recite together. Let's recite together. Ready? One, two, begin. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more, as we see the day approaching. What is the day approaching? The day approaching is referring to the second coming of Christ. It's the day approaching. It's interesting, the book of Hebrews was written a few years before the great Nero persecution. Okay, the day approaching is Judgment Day. Okay, and so Paul was actually encouraging the Christians, let's get together even more. Okay, let's get together even more. Why? Because you need the encouragement from the Word. You need to hear from God. You don't need to hear from man. You need to hear from God. Okay. And true enough, a few years later, Hebrews was probably written about AD 57, 55, 57. Okay. The great Nero persecution started in AD 63, 6 years later. And many of the Christians were being persecuted severely in AD 67 when General Titus actually swept into Jerusalem, surrounded it for 18 months, and then after that, flattened the whole Jerusalem. Okay, many of the Christians were scattered. Those who hang on to the word had eternal life, but those who did not died and went to hell. So that's the reason why Paul says get together. And also an important point is, during that time, the scriptures was not completed yet. Okay, I will talk about the canon of scripture. All scripture finished in AD 90. All right, so there's about 45 years before the entire Bible was completed. So the only places they can actually have the Word of God is at the gatherings. All right, okay. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. Okay, I remember your memory verse for today is Psalm 119, verse 105. Anyone knows that verse? Yeah. She put her hands. Right. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. Okay, we had this game, this thing in the youth, actually. All right, Romans 15:4. You can find out for yourself. Okay, so the two verses, the bottom, talking about Romans 15:4 talks about the Old Testament and how that in the New Testament, we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Okay, so these two verses for next week. All right, let's look at the Bible itself. Okay, what is the Bible? Okay, all the things are written there. I'll go through it point by point. Okay? The Bible is the book that God has given to reveal himself to mankind. God reveals himself in only one revelation in this world, the Bible. There is no other revelation given to man that is most accurate, that's most descriptive, and that's most personal to man. And that's why the Word of God is so important for the believer. We who have trusted Christ. I mean, I always use this verse in Jeremiah 30, verse 1, verse 3. The Bible, Jehovah told Israel, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness will I draw you. God, this Bible is God's most personal book to man. It is unthinkable for a God who loves us to not want to tell us who He is. It's unthinkable for a God who loves us so much, who don't want to communicate with us. You know how He did it? He did it black and white, so that we know it's unchanging. He can be trusted. I'm just adding all these things because this is true. Okay, He is the most trustworthy person in the universe. Otherwise, we can't trust Him. He keeps His promises all the time. And so through the Bible, God reveals Himself. It is through the Bible. Actually, without the Bible, we will never believe. We will never know that God is a Trinity. If you never know, if it's not for the Bible, we will never know that the world was created in 6 days. If it's not for the Bible, we'll never know that God can actually open the Red Sea. If it's not for the Bible, we will never know the wrath of God, the severity of God. If it's not for the Bible, we will never know the love of God through Jesus Christ. And how much He wants us to be part of His glory. Okay? It's also through the Bible that we learn how man fell into sin. It's through the Bible we know why we have all the problems in this world, just because of Adam and Eve and all the sin and the curses as a result of that sin. Okay, I'm actually saying all this so you got time to copy down this. But you know, the Bible is given by God to reveal Himself. And it also has answers to all of life's important questions. Such as, who is God? Where did man come from? What is the purpose of this life? Why is this world filled with suffering? Why does man die? What happens after death? How can man get into the right relationship with God? Who is Jesus? What did He do? Why did He do it? And what will happen in the future? All these questions are answered in the Bible. Okay? Men have other, in the Hindu religion, there's the Gita, G-I-T-H, okay? Then in the Muslim, they have the Quran. Then different religions have their books to testify. But the Bible claims to be the truth and the revelation of God. And a person who genuinely studies it realizes that the Bible is perfectly consistent with everything you see around us. Okay? It has answers to all the problems of life as well. Okay? It answers all of life's problems. It gives solutions if man will follow it. And sometimes we only look for the solution after we've gotten into trouble. But God does give us solutions to backtrack, to deal with that as well. Okay, it's all in the Bible. The Bible is interesting because it was written by different... There's a grammatical problem there. Written by 40 different men. Okay, the interesting thing is that 40 different men wrote in different ages... 14 different men who were of different occupations, different status in life, different positions in life, different educational level, but all of them wrote consistently about one person, God. Okay? From David, which is about 900 years BC, to even Peter, when both wrote them about God, they wrote about the experience with this one God. Okay? The miraculous unity of the Bible is seen in that from Solomon to Jude, they all had one personal relationship. They wrote about one personal God who is consistent from beginning to end. Okay? Why is that? Why a man writing in 1005 Moses BC is consistent when Jesus came 1500 years later? Why is it consistent? This is a very important question because the Bible has one author, God. That's the reason for the miraculous unity of the book. We'll talk about inspiration next week. But you know what? When you look at the Bible itself, the miraculous unity, not just within itself, but the miraculous accuracy of the Bible compared to science, Bible compared to archaeology, Bible compared to math, Bible compared to astronomy, Bible compared to the scientific laws of this world, the Bible is absolutely accurate. Okay? So that is why, that's one of the reasons why we can really trust the Bible, because it's so accurate, both internally and externally. Okay? It's written over a span of 1,600 years. Okay? The Bible comes from the word Biblios. Did you know that the word Bible doesn't appear in the Bible? How many of you know that? The word Bible doesn't appear in the Bible. Okay, I think it was Pastor John Yes who said there was one guy who actually challenged that there's no such thing as the rapture because the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible. Remember the argument? Okay, it's actually a Latin word, all right? And so this pastor actually argued back and said, okay, then the Bible is not true too because the word Bible doesn't appear in the Bible. Okay? But what Bible means, Biblios, is one book with 66 other smaller books. Which book of the Bible has all the books of the Bible? Just a trick question. Which book of the Bible has all the books of the Bible? Isaiah. Why? Because there are 66 books in chapters in Isaiah, and there are 66 books of the Bible. Okay, how many books are there in the Old Testament? How many books are there in the Old Testament? 39, okay. How do you find out how many books are there in the New Testament? You take 3 times 9. 39, you have 27 books, okay. So that's in the English Bible. That's in the English Bible. Okay? So, there's one book with 66 other smaller books. The Bible speaks with one voice. Okay? In other words, the whole Bible has only one topic. Let's turn to John chapter 5, 39. This is a very important verse on the inspiration and the unity of the Scriptures. John chapter 5, verse 39. Okay, let's read together. Reading 1, 2, begin. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. What is the main topic of the Bible? Sorry? The Lord Jesus Christ. From cover to cover, from first verse to the last verse, it all talks about Jesus Christ. Okay? The unity of the Scriptures is such that God only highlights one person, the central theme, everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why he had to come, through which, where he will come as a Savior, okay, how he's going to come, what is going to happen in the Old Testament, then in the New Testament, and his life, and then the mission he gives to the church, and everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so search the Scriptures. We need to look at the Scriptures. It is unified. Okay, it speaks with one voice, but he has two major sections. All right, this one voice speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Okay, the word testament, okay, we talk about Sing Ye Chu Ye, New Testament, Old Testament. The word testament means an agreement. It's a covenant, all right? The word testament means a covenant or an agreement, right? The Old Testament, we'll be talking about the Old Testament first, okay? These are some notes and points as you read the Old Testament that will help us at least have some idea of the purpose of the Old Testament. Old Testament is God's covenant or God's agreement with men through the law of Moses. The law was given to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus by revealing God's holiness and man's sinfulness. Sorry, preparation of the coming of the Son of Man, which refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, a preparation of man for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in the Old Testament. All right? Is to prepare the coming of Jesus by revealing God's holiness and man's sinfulness. So the whole of the Old Testament is the Mosaic Law. And the purpose of the Old Testament is to show that man cannot keep the law. Man can't keep the law. We have to be very clear on that. Even for ourselves as Christians, crossing over, understanding salvation is purely by grace through faith. We can't keep the law. There is no way we can change our own lives because we keep the law, okay? So the Old Testament was given to do that. The Old Testament, just some facts about the Old Testament, is written in the Hebrew language, okay? It's written in the Hebrew language, okay? Just as an interesting aside, the entire Bible, the entire Old Testament is written in the Hebrew language. they do have a Greek translation of the Hebrew, which was also quoted by Jesus in the New Testament, the Septuagint. All right, that's why some of the New Testament translation, when Jesus quoted it written in the Aramaic Greek, was a bit different from the old, simply because Jesus was actually quoting from the Septuagint, which was copied throughout. Okay, so this is something that we have to take note of. But God did give the Bible in its original condition in the book in Hebrew. All right, and this is just for interesting facts. What language are we going to speak in heaven? There must be a language, right? How many say it's Singlish? We don't know. How many say it's Tagalog? We don't know. Okay, my pastor in Australia believes we'll speak Hebrew in heaven. I say, so how do you know? I say, I don't know, it's just my opinion. So it's just an opinion, all right? But God gave me in Hebrew first. So, but anyway, that was just an aside, okay? We don't know what language you're going to speak. We'll definitely understand one another in heaven, all right? So that's the one thing. The Old Testament was primarily written in the Hebrew language. The Old Testament is divided into five major sections, or four major sections. I used to learn five major sections, but there's no big difference in that. The law, what are the books of the law? The first five books of Moses, which are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay? History, it goes from Judges all the way to before Job, which is Esther, okay? All the way, because Esther is still history, okay? Then the poetry starts in Job, whereby it talks about answers to life. So there's Ecclesiastes, there is Psalms, there is Proverbs, then there is the Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes I mentioned already, okay? All right? Then after that, last time I used to learn there are major prophets, there are 12, and then the minor prophets, the rest of it. So the prophetic section. Can? Okay? How many of you can? Say the Old Testament books in sequence. Okay, I'm going to teach you. How many can? Some can, because they learn a song. Okay, we're going to learn a song. All right? How many of you know the song? One little, two little, three little Indian. I think we all know, right? We're going to learn that one. Okay? So that, you know, every time I go FBI, I get very ill because Pastor John here said, I don't think anyone knows. I say, we know, but you cannot raise our hand in FBI. Okay. All right. Okay. It goes like this. Those who know, just join me. Ready? Just sing. Ready? One, two, go. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel. 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Michael, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. How many of you were not so confident you could get it? But because of the song, you could just remember it. All right? Can? So, can I? Just go and practice. All right? So, one of your quiz questions is you've got to come out and sing the song. Okay? How about that? All right? I might actually do that because it helps you to remember. All right. This was something I taught my children when they were very, 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 very young. All right. So we actually had this Bible in song. And from young, we've really been trained that. Okay. So any questions about the Old Testament? Of course, there are many, many other things as well. But now we look at the New Testament. Okay. In the New Testament, however, it's slightly different. Well, not so much even just unity. But in the New Testament, as the Old Testament is God's covenant with men through the law of Moses, the New Testament is God's covenant with men through the salvation that is purchased by Jesus Christ. The New Testament contains the account of Christ's birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, the teachings of Christ's apostles, and the prophecies about the future in the book of Revelation. In fact, interspersed throughout Paul's teaching or so, they are just snippets of the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ Okay? The New Testament was written originally in Koine Greek, the common Greek, which tells us one thing: God does want even the common people to know about His Word. Okay, God does want the people to know who He is. That's why the language of the New Testament was to the common people, common Greek. Okay, it's divided into five sections: the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John; history of the church, which is the book of Acts. For those who just came in, we are looking at the whole topic of the Bible. Okay. And then from Romans to, what's the book just before Hebrews? Philemon, right? Philemon, okay? We had this joke in the camp. Philemon, no, it's Philemon, okay? The difference between the Pauline epistles and the general epistles was Pauline epistles was written specifically to a church or person, specifically. Whereas general epistles deals with Christians in general, all right? Although there's a certain group, but it's very general, okay? So there's the Gospels, there's histories, there's Pauline epistles, the general epistles, all the way to the book of Jude, and the last book of the Bible is Revelation. Okay, who can recite Matthew to Revelation in sequence? Okay? But the New Testament song goes like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, Jude and Revelation. Okay? Let me try that. Ready? 1, 2, go. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Acts and Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. Okay? Again? Okay. All right, so hopefully this, now you can challenge, those who teach Sunday school, you can challenge your students already. I know, from Genesis to Malachi, can you? And you start singing the song. Oh, it's a wonderful way for little children, even from young, to start listening and memorizing, all right, the sequence. Okay, the New Testament is covered in that. Okay, just some thoughts, insights into Paul's epistles from Romans to Philemon. These were written by the Apostle Paul to instruct various churches and individuals in specific Christian doctrine. And the general epistles are Hebrews to Jude. They're called general epistles because they're not written to churches specifically, but written to Christians in general. They were written by Paul, James, Peter, Jude, and John. Of course, in the book of Revelation, this book contains prophecies about the end of age. You know, that's how we talk about, for those who came a bit later, we mentioned that the Bible is consistent, although there are 40 authors over 1,600 years time. And the reason for that is because, really, there's no 40 authors, there's only one author. And the author is God. But all the men that wrote the Bible had experienced personal salvation and personal faith in the one God, and God used them. Okay? And I want to turn us to 2 Peter, I believe, chapter 1. What kind of men were they? Verse 21. We'll talk about more about it next week. We'll talk about it more next week. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, all right? 20 and 21 talks about the inspiration of Scripture. Let's read together in verse 21, or maybe 20-21. Then I'll just highlight one key thing from there. All right, ready? 20-21. 1, 2, go. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay, what kind of men were these 40 men? These 40 men were holy men. They were set apart to God. That teaches us one thing. God only speaks to those who are set apart to Him. Or specifically, all right, with regards to giving of His word. And also for us as Christians today, sometimes we don't hear the word of God. Sometimes we don't hear the voice of God through God's words because in our hearts we're not set apart to hear Him. Okay, we've not set Him apart in our lives when we come to church, where we read the Bible, because we have not put our hearts, say, Lord, I'm here to hear Your voice. All right, so we need to ensure that in our lives we're set apart for Him. This is a very important thing. We talk about it in the church camp about how we need to have the fear of God in our lives, otherwise our families will not be strong. And everyone actually have personal responsibility for that. Okay? So, the relationship between the old and the new is encapsulated in this way. Okay, number one, the Old Testament is promise. All the promises, there are over 333, about 330 promises of the coming of Christ in the Old Testament, all fulfilled in the new. And you know what's an interesting thing? For every one promise of Jesus' first coming, there are seven promises of His second coming. There are over 2,000 promises about the second coming of Christ from Genesis all the way to Malachi about the second coming of Christ. And if the first 333 prophecies were fulfilled to the T, meaning specifically, accurately, were fulfilled accurately, which some people calculate the probability 1 times 10 to the power of 141 zeros. That is a sure impossibility, and yet it happened in one person's life. You know what? Based on that, you can be sure the over 2,000 prophecies will be fulfilled. In fact, it's being fulfilled before our very eyes, all right, about Israel and different things happening throughout the world now. All right, so it was a promise in the old and the fulfillment of it in the new. Okay, and parts of it is still being fulfilled right now in our lives. The 7 years of tribulation and all that we haven't even touched on that yet. All right, but God is going to bring things to pass. Okay, in the Old Testament with the preparation, all right, for Jesus, how God used Abraham. Then after that, how God prepared the whole Jewish nation, the law and all the pictures of Christ through the temple and all that. And in the New Testament, it's a presentation of Christ, okay, to the world. All right, the New Testament, okay, one way of understanding the New and Old Testament is this. The Old Testament is in the New Testament. Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. The New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. The Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. The New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. That's why when you read, so as a young believer, we don't encourage people to read the Old Testament first. You'll get confused. You should read Book of John, you should read specific, very clear, because that's the revelation. They need to know the answers first. Okay? And then the more you read the New Testament, when you read the Old Testament, the more you understand. Oh, this was here, this was here. This helps us to understand a bit more, all right? Okay? All right, and the Old Testament was a foundation. Okay? In the Old Testament, we find where was the creation and all that, and everything in the Old Testament pertains to God building up knowledge, building up understanding, so that when Jesus came, people could actually see the fulfillment. That's why in many of the people, Annas and Simeon, those people who saw Jesus for the first time, the Holy Spirit showed them this is the fulfillment. This is what we were talking about all along. And that's why many of the apostles who were Jewish, they were looking for the Messiah. The moment they saw Jesus, like Andrew, said, we have found the Messiah. All right, they were so clear to a certain way, they knew the Old Testament. And they were looking for the New Testament. Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4. This is what Jesus said of Himself, okay? I'll just read from verse 16. And then you hear what Jesus was saying. And the Bible says in Luke 4:16, and He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, as His custom was. It was a habit of Jesus to be in a synagogue. It therefore should be a pattern of practice for us as Christians to be regularly in the house of God as much as is appointed. Okay? Because that was his habit. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where he was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and receiving of sight unto the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, let's find Isaiah chapter 61. Okay? So, Jesus was just reading that. He was just reading that. He closed the book, and he gave it to the minister and sat down. The eyes of them all were in the synagogue, were fastened on him. And he said unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." You know what? Can you imagine? These Jewish people have been reading this maybe week after week for the last 400 years. And it became like a, okay. And Jesus says, "Today, this particular passage is fulfilled in your ears." That means right now it's been fulfilled. What is he referring to? He's saying, "I'm the Messiah. I've come." And what was the response of the people? "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceed out of his mouth and said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?'" What was their response? What does it mean to it? Is not this Joseph's son? What does it mean? Is not this Joseph's son? Isn't he just like one of us? It's not the Messiah. Come on, what are you talking about? You're not the Messiah. It was unbelief. They didn't believe the word. You know, that is the condition of many people today. When the word of God is being preached, Jesus, the written word, is preached. He is also the living word, but many people don't believe. Okay? And that's something for us to understand. The word of God, God has given to us his word. And in those days in Luke chapter 4, it was the fulfillment presentation of Jesus and the building, okay? God is building up history. The foundation is the old. Now everything is being shown and revealed to us in the New Testament. Actually, we are very privileged. And therefore, we need to actually put more faith. That's why grace and faith is such an important, essential thing for Christians. We don't deserve to receive the revelation of God. God gave it to us. Actually, God gave us more certain evidences of his grace that we need to be living for him even more. All right? Any questions? Finish now. We'll finish for this week. Okay? Any questions? Okay, just next week we look at the divine inspiration. Okay, what does it mean from the scriptures? Divine inspiration, God giving us the word of God. We look at the canon of scripture, meaning how do we know we have the Bible? How do we know we have the Bible? How do we know that the Apocrypha is not true? Okay, it's not in the canonization of the scriptures. All right, I need to memorize these two verses. Okay, any questions about the Bible? Any questions you'd like to ask? Okay, just a summary. The Bible is God's revelation of himself to man. This is the only place in the whole universe God chooses to show himself. He uses only this to tell us who he is, why we are created. He describes himself in this book. And that's why for those who really love him, need to search out and say, "Lord, the more you read the Bible, the more you realize you don't know about who God is." Okay? You can read this Bible for all eternity. God is so... The character of God is so infinite that the whole of eternity you won't be able to even understand him. In fact, when we go to heaven, we're just beginning to understand him. And just the beginning, but you know what? To understand the whole length and breadth and height and depth of God, we will never, in the brains that God has given to us, ever conceive who God is. And yet he gives us the privilege of knowing who he is. Okay? Yet he gives us the privilege of knowing who he is. All right. So let us as Christians be very, very... one of the things we learn in church camp, we just finish off with this in 1 minute's time. But the key thing is, we learn that in order to get the fear of God, we need to be in the Word of God. If you're not in the Word of God, you will have no fear of God. That's why Christians do the things they do. They take the liberties they take because they don't know what God says and who He is. If we really know who God is, we will not do 90% of the things we are doing now. Because God is our God. He sees everything. All right? So next week is part two of the Bible. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we can hear your precious word. We know your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It's the entrance of thy word give us light, give us understanding to the lowly, to the simple. Lord, it is through your word that men learn the fear of God. Lord, your word give us foundation as we obey it, that we might have a strong foundation in this life. Heavenly Father, your word will never pass away. When you gave it to us, you gave us as promises to those who are weak, or rather strength to those who are weak. You gave us promises for those who are looking for answers. You gave us your precious word to give us your wisdom as we deal with the things in this life. So Lord, I thank you for your precious word. Help us to love it. We know that people in the past have given their lives so that others can have your word. Lord, I pray that as Christians today, we will study it very well, that we might give to those who have need of it. And I pray that the word of grace, the word of truth, the word of love will be so freely shared among believers. We won't keep it to ourselves. And Father, help us to always have a welcoming spirit, Lord, a heart that loves your word, like the Christians at Berea. Lord, they loved your word. They welcomed the preaching of your word. They welcomed the people who wanted to preach the word to them. Lord, thank you for also the pattern of their responsibility of ensuring, even the Apostle Paul, even his word. And Lord, they were so thankful for the word, and they searched it daily, whether if these things are so. So Lord, I pray that we'll always have a welcoming spirit towards your word, that whether it does take a bit of time for us to learn it, help us to put in the effort. Thank you, Lord. Bless the service to follow. Bless every father today. It's Father's Day. Yeah, Lord, we thank you most of all, you being our Heavenly Father. Lord, sometimes we really don't spend enough time thanking you for who you are. Lord, you watch over our lives. You watch over our families. You provide every need. Father, we thank you for the gifts we have, but Lord, we thank you more for who you are. Lord, we appreciate your intervention, Lord, your hand of love and care. Even sometimes the hand of chastisement and admonition simply because you love us. Lord, it is all because of your great love that you have for us, Lord. Help us never to take that for granted. Help us never to be so busy in our lives we don't even have time for you. But Lord, you were so busy taking care of the whole entire universe, you still made time to come and die for us. Thank you. Father, help us always to have the heart of gratefulness. That Lord, we will not allow sin in our lives. Father, we cannot allow sin because of what you've done for us. So Father, thank you as we remember the earthly fathers. Help us never to forget what a wonderful Heavenly Father you have been to us, and you will continue to be, because Lord Jesus, Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, forever. So thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. I pray in our lives, Lord, you are continually at work. You will never stop working until as your children we have the best in this life. And Father, I pray that we will not resist you. For Father, it is pure insanity to reject someone who loves us so much. So bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.